Total Access Show.
Touchdown, Tampa Bay!
On your home for the Buccaneers, 620 WDAE and US 103.5. Here's your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome to the Total Access Show. I'm going to get right to a big day for the Bucs yesterday. Tremendous rebound from a week ago against Detroit today. Once again, second time, part two, Rondé Barber. Rondé, welcome, bud.
Man, it's good to be on with you again.
Enjoy the last
did
time.
Did we win last time I was on the show? We did, didn't we? Because it was after my 170-whatever start, wasn't it?
Don't act like you don't know.
72nd. Okay, I know.
Okay, I do know. I'm trying to be modest over there.
I am.
Big day, man. A lot of things to talk about. You know, we had records, able to score 38 points. We knew the offense had it in them.
Yeah.
You can see it coming all year long. You can see the young receivers making plays. You saw Bunt coming along.
Yeah.
And it was beautiful to see, even after a slow start.
Yeah.
What was your – just give me your thought.
We scored 38 points early this year against
– Yeah, it wasn't as pretty, though.
Yeah, against – who was it? Against Arizona. But, of course, we scored twice on defense, and we had four interceptions. You know, we scored 38 points.
Spoken like a true defensive guy.
Absolutely. I'll give credit where credit is due.
Yeah, I agree.
But they scored – 38 points on offense yesterday, and we didn't sniff a turnover. You know, we dominated on third down. We got off the field, I think, on 70% or something of third downs. And on all those possessions, especially in the second half, we converted those into scores. And that's, you know, that's how you score 38 points.
Well, the second half of the game, every possession while Freeman was in the game, you guys were able to drive down and score points.
Yeah.
I mean, that's – that's you know, regardless of who you're playing. You can say Seattle doesn't play well on the road. It doesn't matter. It's the NFL. We see it every week.
You mentioned it, man. It's you said the guy who's responsible for all those points. It's Josh, man. Josh, you know, we actually watched some clips from our game. It's actually a pretty boring defensive game to watch because not a lot happened. After they scored their touchdown, not much, you know, that we could really coach off of. So Jimmy Lake pulled out some of our offensive plays from this past game and said, you know, you want to know how you score 30 points? Look at some of these throws that Josh made and some of the plays that Kellen made and, you know, the setup that Mike Williams gave Trufant on that bonsai touchdown.
I was going to talk about that. That was actually in my notes because people don't realize from both guys because Freeman
Absolutely.
Well, let's set the stage a little bit. You know, that first touchdown pass to Mike Williams, he's on the outside. He's one-on-one with 23 Trufant.
Yeah.
Now, is he a halfway decent corner?
He's a pretty good corner, man.
All right, well, he's running
he's
like a
the
post route.
Yeah.
And Mike Williams had the patience of a guy that's played for 10 years.
Absolutely.
He runs a route, and he sticks his foot in the ground like he's going to the corner and about trips himself.
Yeah, yeah.
And he gets Trufant to completely turn around the other way, and he comes in. And at the same time, they're blitzing Freeman.
Zero blitz.
And he's got guys coming free, and he's just waiting. Waiting on his back foot as long as he could.
I'll give you my perspective from a defensive player. You can't lose inside there. You have an all-out blitz, and we always make the joke because Monty used to, you know, call a all-out blitz. We called it bonsai. I used to call it all-out blitzes. And if the quarterback had time to throw it, you had to win inside. And if he caught it outside, that's on Monty, you know. Plays on Monty. It's usually going to be a touchdown, but Mike set the guy up, and you know, it was a heck of a throw. It was a heck of a job by Josh, buying himself some time, backpedaling a little bit, and delivering a ball. But it's just indicative of what he did all game. You know, you don't throw five touchdown passes in a game by accident. Now, you know, obviously some great play calling in there by Ole, but you know, the execution on all of those was just a credit to number five, man. The way he plays, you know, we go as a football team. There's no doubt about it. I don't see any reason why, you know, it can't be that way every week, especially going forward. I mean, the guy's got so much talent. He's got talent around him at wide receiver. Obviously got some talent at running back in McGarrett.
We'll talk about it. Like I said,
there's
a lot of things we can
talk
about. There's
a lot of things to talk about. But it's fun to watch an offense, just to get back to your original point. It's fun to watch an offense score points. It hasn't, you know, there's plenty of Bucs fans here that know it hasn't always been the case around here. You know, we've won a lot of games, 17-14 and 20-17.
And that's how how we were built. This is how this team was built. And that, you know, you could say even in the Super Bowl years, you guys just didn't. And Gruden was a great offense coordinator, and he used guys, you know, to their ability. But at the same time, the sky's really the limit for this offense.
Yeah, this is the transition has been made, so to speak. You know, the superstars on this team are emerging on offense right now, whereas over the past, you know, 12 years, 13 years, it's been all defensive guys that have driven. Obviously, we had the Allstats and the Duns and, you know, those guys, but
we didn't have the receivers match. Yeah, I mean, that's the problem.
It was a defensive driven team here with our star power, and it's definitely, you know, in a year or two, you know, taking a leap to the other side of the ball. And you know, when you have that pressure, you got to expect them to put up games like this. And I look for a lot more of that in the future from these guys.
Well, you're listening to Rondé Barber, and my point about you could see it coming is the beginning of the game. It seems the Bucs offense, the only time they're not able to move down the field is when they self-destruct.
Yeah.
We saw it so many times last week against Detroit. And young teams, you're going to have
still young
penalties.
Absolutely.
But you have a holding, you have an offside, you have a bad snap that really kills your drive on the way in. But that was the only time they got stopped is when really they set themselves back from a penalty.
Who stopped themselves? Well, you know one thing that's not going to happen to stop a drive, and that's Josh throwing an interception. I think he only has five on the year.
Six,
whatever it is.
But stats are for losers.
But my point being, last year that wasn't the case. You know, he's matured so far, in so much as taking care of the ball, that it's great to play defense against a guy. Cause you know, you're very rarely going to have to play in a backed up field. If they score on us, they had to drive the length of the field because our punter Robert Malone is kicking the crap out of the ball right now.
Right, and he had a slow start.
Yeah,
he's really come on.
Yeah, a couple of those were into the wind last week or just yesterday. It was amazing. You know, the guy has really come on. But you couple those two factors, and you start winning the field position game. Like I said, we start winning on third down like we did yesterday, and there's no chance we shouldn't have done what we did to Seattle yesterday. I mean, you almost have to expect it, especially with as well as those guys on offensive playing.
It's really fun to watch, and it has to be fun from your perspective. And even, you know, guys like Kellen Winslow, the ability for these guys to run the routes that they're running.
Yeah.
You know, that first touchdown that he caught, he gets a guy turned inside and comes all the way out.
Yep.
Freeman doesn't hit him right away.
Yep.
But, you know, to talk a little about Freeman, you know, he's thrown 23 touchdown passes. He had 144.2 quarterback rating yesterday.
Yeah.
He's thrown for over 3,000 yards, and he's 22 years old.
Yeah.
But the biggest thing, I think you just made a great point, is we see a lot of great quarterbacks. We see a lot of young ones and have in the past, but his ability to not make bad decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, we saw Peyton Manning when he was young.
When he was young,
he'd throw a lot of touchdowns, but he'd throw a lot of interceptions.
Yeah.
His ability to throw it away, sometimes when you take a sack, that's not a bad decision.
Rod told us today in the meeting, just he was going over some of the superlatives over the course of this year, and Freeman's the second leading rusher among quarterbacks in the NFL, but behind the obvious guy, behind Michael Vick. And that's
But he's not a running quarterback.
No, but
he does it because he's making good decisions.
He's scrambling out of the pocket. He's not trying to force it like he has when he's a rookie. You know, the good thing, the one thing I love about Josh is his willingness to make something out of nothing. And you know, a lot of people try to force the issue when they do that, but he knows something out of nothing is tucking a ball and, you know, running over somebody or buying himself just enough time to either find that last second drop off or throw the thing out of bounds. That's impressive for a 22-year-old kid. Now, I mean, I've been telling people for, you know, most of this year, at least the latter part of this year, that show me any one of these young quarterbacks that have come out in the past 3 or 4 years, other than maybe Matt Ryan, that are anywhere close to this kid. Because you know, I make the statement all the time: there's not a lot of great quarterbacks in this league. There really isn't. There's probably 7 or 8 guys that you can consider, you know, franchise type. I want to build my team around those type of quarterbacks. And Josh right now is absolutely in that group.
Yeah, and he's one of the things that, and you can speak of this as a defensive guy, he's one of the few quarterbacks, you know, regardless of the ability to run, he can make all the throws.
Yeah.
You know, I've played with a lot of quarterbacks. The first one I played with, Marino, and he's one of the only one that I've ever played with that can make all three types of throws.
Yeah.
Like Trent Dilfer was tremendous when he had a seam to drill it.
Yep.
He could put it on a line anywhere, but he had trouble with the ball over the top. He couldn't get it to drop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I played with Drew Bledsoe. Now, he can drop it over the top and hit you on a seam, but he didn't have touch.
Yeah.
Now, we saw yesterday alone, he just threw it to the area like Brad Johnson. Brad Johnson was tremendous at throwing it to an area and letting you go get it. And we saw yesterday on the play action him just throwing it out there to Mike Williams to an area.
Yep.
And then we saw him put it on a line to Winslow. We saw him put it on a line. And then when you see somebody coming across the middle like Cadillac, him just feather the ball out there with touch. You've played against a ton of them. You played against the best.
Not many. Even some of the great ones that are playing right now can't do that. Tom Brady, maybe. The most impressive throw he had was a 3rd and 15. It was trips to his left, and he was looking to his left the whole time. And Kellen started to cut across the middle of the field. And this is one of the plays that Jimmy Lake showed us in our meeting today, just to show how amazing they played yesterday. He set up to throw to the left side of the field, and basically with his arm, with his body still pointing left, he just flicked it, you know, over the middle of the field. And Kellen made it look, you know, tight spiral, had velocity on it, went right through somebody's hands, and Kellen caught it. I mean, it was a throw that, I don't know, 5% of the people in the world can make, and it was just impressive. And that's what we're becoming to expect from this kid. I just love it. You know, his maturation is very, 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 very fast. It's unlike anybody else that I've seen in the last couple of years.
Now, what does all that do for you on defense? I mean, does that make your life easier? Does it give you the ability to take more chances? Or does that make you want to play a little bit softer?
No, we don't play any. I mean, we're on defense, we're finding our identity, really. I mean, we know what we are. We're base Tampa 2 team, but we don't do a lot of Tampa 2 anymore. I mean, Raheem said it on his show right before this. We play way more single high and, 88, which is two-man, two-high safety, a man underneath type of coverages than we ever have in the past. But we just want to be aggressive. You know, we want to create opportunities to get the third down, whether it's blitzing early in the series to, you know, get a manageable third down, or whether it's finding a way to get our safeties involved in the run game so we can go to third down and get aggressive on people. That's who we are. We don't want to necessarily take chances. We just want to be aggressive when we have the right opportunities, and we got to get in the right situations to do that. And Seattle gave us plenty of those opportunities yesterday.
You did. And I think it's a good teaching tape, because when you watch the film initially, it looked like they were going to have a big day on the ground.
Yeah.
And then you guys were able to shore that up a little bit. Why is that? Why do we see the last couple weeks and then all of a sudden three quarters of this game you're able to shut it down?
Well, you know what it is? You know what's a great lesson out of that game? They really only had one breakout run other than the touchdown late in the game, which Rod called a play, and they called a perfect run play against this zone pressure that we were bringing. But the one play that they broke out early in the game, it was one guy missing his gap. You know, a guy fell down on the grass. And if he, you know, does his job, stays up, it's a 3-yard tackle for loss. But where we have to get better is not making that missed tackle at the line of scrimmage turn into a guy on the ground in the secondary that makes it all of a sudden into a 27-yard game when it should have just been, you know, a 10-yard cap off. I mean, that's where we can get better. Just the little fundamental things like that. I think we can be a really, really good defense. I mean, obviously we're still young. We got a bunch of young guys playing for us, and they'll figure it out. When they do, it's going to be, you know, really special defense.
Well, we want to talk a little bit more about that, Ron, but we're going to have to take a break. Again, my guest today, Rondae Barber. When we come back, we'll be taking your calls. Phone numbers, Hillsboro, 813-990-4620, Pinellas, 727-461-4620, toll free 800-546-4620, and toll free 800-596-BUCKS-2827. We'll be back in a minute on a Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access returns on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of the Buccaneers.
Welcome back. We are here with Rondae Barber tonight. We're going to take your calls in a minute, but we're going to talk a little more defense. Now, this is an area that's obviously, for as long as I can remember, the strength of this team. And yet you guys have played very well at times and inconsistent at others. And I had Adam Hayward on the air last week, and I was asking him, you know, why sometimes there's big seams, why not? It's built on gaps. The guys getting in their gaps. And I was a young player fighting for a position, and so were you. And we can relate to some of the things he was talking about. If you're a guy that's been a backup, person in front of you gets hurt, you come in, all you're thinking in your mind is, I got to make a play so that I can earn a position. So it's not sexy sometimes to stay in your gap to make sure
to
the runner doesn't come through there.
To do your job.
All of a sudden, you're making a block. You're like, the play's away. You shed your guy, and the next thing you know, you're out of your gap. And you know as well as I do.
Yeah.
If there is somebody out of their gap, a running back's going to find it.
Yeah, it's that simple, but it's not that simple as well. I mean, good defenses are defense that cause disruption, especially disruption up front. And, you know, speaking to what you were saying about a gap control type of defense, I believe just over the years watching, you know, teams do it, you know, not just our team, but other teams do it. The teams that create, you know, vertical penetration and let other people make plays, even if you're out of your gap, but you're creating disruption in where your gap was.
Disruption in what, blocking schemes?
In blocking schemes, you know. A D tackle penetrating right through the A gap Okam did it yesterday.
Yeah, we said it wrong all day. It's Okam,
exactly.
Not Okam.
Not Okam. He did it yesterday. He split the gap. You know, caught the quarterback as he was handing off the ball, and it was a 4-yard loss. You know, those type of splash type plays on the front line make up for a lot of, you know, gap misassignments. And you're not ever going to play it perfect. Monty used to always say this. You're not ever going to play a perfect game. Someone's going to be out of their gap. But every now and then, you have to be special, you know, and whether that's, you know, a linebacker falling back or a safety that's down in the box making, an out-of-his-gap type of play, you can do that. But, you know, to get to what Adam was saying, you know, what makes, you know, defenses work is everybody understanding how they're supposed to do their job and when they're supposed to do their job and when they can take chances, to be honest with you. If Adam comes down and, I don't know, say we're running a bark, say we're running a blitz, and he jumps out of his gap and makes the play, it's like, yeah, it's a data boy. But say he jumps out of his gap and it gashes right through where he was supposed to be, then you're disappointed. Then you're like, just do your job. But it's kind of a fine line, and good players can get away with it, but sound teams are the ones that do it right consistently most of the time. And Raheem has talked about this all year long. You know, we obviously play fast, we play hard. You know, for the most part, we play as a smart team. But when we start playing consistent, we're going to be a very, very, very good football team.
Well, I know from playing against our defense there for the years when you had all the, you know, the sap.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. Sap was out of his gap every other play, but he always made a play. Yeah.
Right, but the thing about it is they were able to get that penetration.
Yeah.
And how many run plays are not just straight ahead? They start one way, they weave back, they start inside and bounce outside. So any penetration at all really screws up the offensive line because they can't get to their responsibilities.
Yeah.
Because if they're double teaming and somebody splits it, now nobody's getting up to the linebacker.
Yeah.
He's running free. So that completely
I promise you, most of the gashes that you see in the running game, not just our team, but any team, have 30% to do with gaps and 70% to do with missed tackles. You know, breakout runs only happen when people miss tackles. That's a fact. That's a bottom line deal now, because our safety on that one breakout run, the one we were talking about earlier, he slipped in the hole. If he doesn't slip in the hole, it's a 10-yard game. And it's, we got to figure out what happened. But, you know, at the time we're like, what happened? It's a 30-yard game. Can we run that defense again? What happened?
Right.
You know, but it's, you know, a guy slipping and two guys slipping, and, you know, it all of a sudden looks like a breakout run. But it's never really what it seems. You just got to figure out, you know, what went wrong. You know, because every defense we call is meant to succeed. You know, you don't call a defense for it to fail. You call it for it to succeed. And when everybody does their job, even if they're doing it maybe a little bit out of their gap, it usually
works.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to take some phone calls. First up, we have Doug in Sarasota. You're on with Rhonda.
Yeah, man. Rhonda, you there?
Yeah, what's up, Doug?
I'm driving down the road. Hey, man, I just wanted to congratulate you on such a downright blowout against the Seattle Seahawks. It was absolutely fabulous to see the defense and offense put such a good game on a team like that.
Oh, yeah.
And my main question to you is, you know, going into a game that we're going to have this last game, you know, we've played them before during the season and did well with them and against them. But as a defensive player, And, I mean, you guys have studied the New Orleans and Drew Brees. And, I mean, are there things that you guys are, you know, I know you can't say what you're putting together, but are there real gaps in their offense that, you know, you think that, you know, the Bucs can really, you know, help our aspect of winning that? I mean, we need the win, and, I mean, I don't think we have a problem beating them at all anyway. So, but I'm just curious of you know, because we, you know, New Orleans and us has always been a little bit on the Buck side, in my opinion. But is there stuff out there that, you know, that New Orleans just Bucks are are dominant on them, you know, as far as the defense goes? We have a great defense.
Well, you know what? New Orleans got good about, what, 4 years ago? We were just trying to figure this out when Drew Brees got there. They've been a dominant offense for about 3 years. I mean, they won a Super Bowl last year with a defense that, you know, frankly, wasn't great statistically.
Right.
They scored a whole bunch of touchdowns. They had a whole bunch of turnovers. But that New Orleans just, you know, they fun and gun you. They beat you with Drew Brees and his core of great offensive football players. You know, the thing about New Orleans and I don't know that there's any way to, you know, completely stop them. But we are definitely familiar with them. You know, we played them earlier in the year and they somewhat had our way with them, but I think our familiarity with them really worked to our detriment. You know, we thought we could, you know, get into certain situations where we knew exactly what they were going to do and we could just take it away. And, you know, that just can't be the case. I mean, you got to be smart when you play these guys. You got to limit their big plays. Obviously, they're going to move the football, but you know they've also been prone to make some mistakes, and we just got to wait for them to make mistakes and try to hold on. This is not a team you stop. You know, it's not a team you go out and try to take away everything that they have just because they have too much talent on offense to do that.
And they do so many things. We'll get into it a little bit later, just as a preview to New Orleans. But that, you know, that also speaks to the offense. Sometimes the best defense for guys like Brees and company is to have long, sustained drives where you're keeping you guys fresh, keeping you off the field, keeping them out of rhythm. Because we watch offenses, even if they don't start off well, if they're on the field for a long period of time and their defense is getting three and outs, all of a sudden you catch that rhythm.
Yeah, absolutely. That's if you want to know why Atlanta is, 11-2 or whatever, 12-2. Look at that aspect of their game. You know, Matt Ryan and that offense, they don't score a whole bunch of points. I mean, they score points, but they don't score an outlandish amount of points for as much time possession they have. They chew the heck out of the clock. By the end of the day, you're like, did we even get any snaps on offense? That's how they play.
But you can't get a rhythm as an offensive player. You can't do that.
Because you can't get a rhythm because they're taking control of the game. They're controlling the ball, converting first downs. You know, taking 7-8. We played them early in the year up in Atlanta, and they had like 2 7-minute drives. And you think about a 7-minute drive in a football game; it's half of a quarter. You know,
Bored sitting over. Cold.
You get stiff. You said it. You have no rhythm. And good football teams have the ability to do that, not just score at will, but also control the clock. And you know, that's all about managing a football game. And they do it as well as anybody in New Orleans. You know, they're more of a quick strike offense, but when they have to, they can milk a clock now and win football games that way.
And that's Tony Dungy. You know, we're familiar with that philosophy
absolutely.
Because we said, what, the bend, don't break defense and offense.
Yep.
You get out there, you chip away at the run. Those 1 and 2 yard games become 3, 4, eventually 6 and 8 at the end of the game.
Yep.
And he says statistically, it's difficult for an offense to be able to go if they get the ball at the 20-yard line.
All
the way down in 80 yards without self-destructing and having a penalty. And we see it all the time.
Turnover.
We said what? You stay close and take it over in the fourth quarter, because if that offense isn't out there a lot, the defense is getting those three and outs, they can't beat you because they can never get into that rhythm offense.
That's exactly right. Just don't give up the big play. That was
Don't give up the big play.
And
when they throw you an interception, catch it.
Sounds
like rocket science.
Yeah, sounds simple, doesn't it?
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have Leo in Tampa. You're on with Rondé.
Rondé.
What's up, man?
Hey, how's it going?
Good.
Hey, two questions.
Yeah.
Do you think the Bucs are going to re-sign you? And also, do you think you're a first ballot Hall of Famer? I sure as hell do.
It's a couple tough questions
right there. Good luck for the Good luck next week against the New Orleans Saints. And I'll go out and hang up and listen.
Appreciate it. You know what? I don't even know. I don't know how.
Well, let's go to first one first.
I don't know how to modestly answer.
Is your contract even up?
My contract is up. I signed that 6-year deal 6 years ago, obviously, and didn't be honest with you. Didn't expect to see the end of it. You know, I thought it would run its course, and you know, Bruce, you know, did me a solid during those the first 3 years of that contract, and was good. It was good for me. It made up for a lot of inadequacies in my contracts, my previous contracts, but. You know, 3 years out, I, you know, left on that thing. I didn't think that I would see it, but here I am at 35 playing 14 years, my contract is up. So to answer your question, I don't know yet if they'll offer me a contract.
Well, I mean,
I haven't made the decision whether or not I'm going to play or not.
Well, exactly. I mean, do you want to play next year? Do you think you do?
I'm still playing well. I still love doing this. But it'll be a decision I make at the end of the year. I had to make a decision at the end of last year whether or not I was going to come back. I think I was leaning towards coming back last year. If you ask me right now the way we're playing, I'd say yeah, I'm leaning to come back next year. But I don't know. You know, in February I'll try to make an unbiased decision. You know, I'll be 36 next year, man. It's a different ball game when you're an old man in the NFL. And I say that all kind of tongue in cheek because. You know, I still feel well. I still feel like I can go out and play.
I know you feel like you can play, but how do you feel physically? Because if you say great, you're lying.
No, I don't feel great, but I still feel like I still feel like I can get up on Wednesdays and Thursdays and go to practice and enjoy being out at practice. That's what you know, what people don't realize when guys decide to retire, and you know this. When guys decide to retire, a lot of it is just like the daunting mentality of going through an entire offseason and getting yourself prepared to do this all over again. You know, I remember when Tiki retired, he went to the best game of his career at the Washington Redskins. He had 300 some yards, 3 touchdowns, whatever. I don't remember what it was. He went to Philly and they were making a playoff run. He went to Philly and they lost. And he said right after the game. And I think he knew he was going to retire. He's like, I think I made the right decision because I can't imagine getting up in March and trying to get to right back to this position where we're in a playoff game. We got to go win. I don't know. You got to make a. I think you have to make an unbiased decision. If I made a decision right now, it would probably be to play. But you know, in February and March, you know, hopefully I'll have more clarity and I'll decide by then. And if they still want me, we'll see.
We have to see how your body feels. Then you know, it's funny when you get away, you're like, wow, I don't feel so bad. Yeah. But when you get in the grind of it, it's a little bit different.
Absolutely, it is. You start getting the off season program, and you're out on the field working with, you know, like this off season on the field working with Jimmy Lake and sitting next to, you know, Albert Mack.
How many times can they explain cover two to you?
I'm sitting there going over.
I was
the
in meetings like, man, how many times are you going to tell me you're on a stick? Yeah. I run 5 yards to turn out.
Going over the details of coverages and the, you know, the little intricacies of movement on the field, and you're like, oh god, I got to do this again for another 5 months until we start training camp.
Well, I remember older guys always told me, play as many years as you can, and then one more.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've heard that.
That's absolutely the case.
All right, we're going to go back to the phones. We have John in Port Richey.
I didn't answer that other part of that question.
We'll get back to that. We'll get back to that. I'm saving it.
Okay.
Hey, Rondi. Hi, Dave. Happy New Year.
What's up, man?
Hey, this is a question. I'm just curious. It's really for both of you. At what point in your career, Pop Warner, junior high school, college, did you think that you would actually make it to the NFL and succeed? I'll hang up and listen.
That's a great question. For me, it was probably it was definitely in college. You know, I didn't go to the University of Virginia, leave high school, come to the University of Virginia, thinking, oh, I'm going to do this and make a career out of it. I'm going to play football for a little. I just didn't grow up that way. I wasn't wired that way. I went to school. Because I had a great opportunity that I could take advantage of my athletic ability and get a great education at Virginia. And I know that sounds hokey coming from an athlete that has, you know, been in the NFL for 14 years, but it's true. It wasn't until I think my third year at Virginia where someone actually sat me down. I think it was Tiki's running back coach. He said, if you guys want to take this to the next level, and I think you can take it to the next level, you know, you got to find a motivation, and you got to get tunnel vision to get to that point. And you know, from that moment on, I think I was—I don't know how old you are old at that time. I was 21 years old. You know, it became a focus of mine, and you know, and here I am. I don't know about you, Dave, but it wasn't, you know, you dream about it when you're little, but you don't, you know, visualize the reality of it until you get, you know, to a position where it might actually happen.
Well, I think really it's, you're taught, and it sounds like a cliche, but it's true. Like, you control the things that you can control.
Absolutely.
And from my perspective, maybe a little differently on the defensive side of the ball, but, you know, if they were to ask, if you throw the ball to me, I'm going to catch it. You tell me to run around, I'm going to do it, and I'm going to do it as often. And obviously, you're a product of your environment sometimes. If you have a good offense or a good defense, it helps your cause. But it was very similar for me. You know, in college, my junior year, I caught a bunch of passes, and then all of a sudden it was like, wow. I mean, if you look statistically comparing to other guys, well, you know, and I had the uphill battle of size. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you and I kind of have that similar thing. The one thing I did want to ask you about that, you signed a 6-year contract kind of made up before that. And we've had a conversation before that, you know, you felt like maybe you should have been drafted higher than the third round.
Yeah.
And, you know, what did Mel Kiper, you know, the big guru, say about Rondé Barber when he was coming out? What would you like to tell him now?
I don't know if he had a Rondé Barber on the board. But you know what's funny? Now, or about past 5 or 6 years, now there's Rondé Barber types. From Mel
they
Kiper.
Have a type named He gave me a 50-50 of making a roster. I wonder what that does to his stats.
I don't know where I was.
We need to throw up how much –
I don't know where I was on
how accurate he's been with some of those guys. That'd be
nonsensical. He hits a few and he misses almost.
Exactly. All right, we're going to take another break. My guest, Rondé Barber. Phone numbers, if you want to give us a call, comments, questions. Hillsborough, 813-990-4620. Pinellas, 727-461-4620. Toll free, 800-546-4620 and 800-596-BUCKS. 2827. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be back on the Total Access Show. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
Buccaneers Total Access continues on 620 WDAE and US 1035. Here again is your host, Dave Moore.
Welcome back with Rondé Barber on the Total Access Show. We were just talking about contracts and, you know, all that stuff. The second question we didn't get to was, before we get back to the phones, we have a number of callers, the Hall of Fame thing. Now, you're the only corner in the history of the league with 26 sacks, 40 interceptions. I mean, that's kind of a no-brainer from a guy that's been around to say, hey, I mean, when you talk about longevity, you talk about health, you talk about the number of games started, played, and stats. Now, we've seen a lot of corners that are the finesse guys. They don't like to tackle. You know, we saw Deion Sanders, you know, out there. And he didn't want to tackle anybody. He was running around trying to be pretty, intercepting balls. I mean, you're out there now, your 14th year, I mean, making tackles. And, I mean, you have over 1,200 tackles. Well, what do you think about that?
It's, you know, I'm a different type of corner than the ones that are – in there right now.
So is that when Mel talks about the Rondé Barber type? Is that what we're talking about?
That's what he's looking for. That's what he's describing. And there's been great corners that didn't put up great numbers. You know, that's, you know, the thing about
who
the
in your team. Who in your mind do you think is that physical type support corner?
When I think of a guy that I would compare myself to, who's coming up for actually all consideration, probably Aeneas Williams. You know, played in Arizona for a year, actually moved to safety, went to St. Louis, finished out his career. He was, you know, dynamic, versatile. He did a lot of different things, you know, over his career. He didn't just play corner. You know, he had a lot of interceptions. I don't necessarily know that he had those sack numbers, but, you know, he was a guy that – I remember I met him at my first Pro Bowl, and, you know, I was just like in awe. I mean, I'd grown up watching the guy, and, you know, I was a peer with him for a couple of years. But he played a different game. He wasn't the ball hawk. He wasn't the guy that was going to end his career with 50, 60 interceptions. He was a guy that was, you know, did all the grunt work, you know, and that's kind of the guy who I was. I mean, I remember, you know, just to digress, when I was, you know, fourth, fifth year in the league, whatever it was, you know, the banter around the league. This is before my 10-pick year. The banter around the league was, you know what, Rondé might be one of the better corners in the league. He does everything. You know, he blitzes a quarterback, he covers, he makes tackles. You know, he's as solid as they come. Then I had a 10-pick year, and it was like, oh, wow, this guy is actually kind of player. You know, it took me to get, you know, a lot of interceptions in a year before people gave me the ultimate respect of being one of the better players in the NFL. And if I hadn't had that type of year, who knows if I would be getting that kind of respect now. You know, who knows if I'd still be in the league, honestly. But there's a certain amount of clout that comes with your numbers. And I think at the end of the day, people that talk about the Hall of Fame, or, you know, probably people that vote for it, and the writers, whoever has the votes, you know, they look at that. They look at
statistically driven.
Yeah, they look at that. I don't know if they'll necessarily look at, you know, all the things that I've accomplished, the 1,200 tackles, the, you know, 26 plus sacks, hopefully more, 40 plus interception, hopefully more, the 13 touchdowns. You know, that only three guys in the history of the league had more than me on defense. I don't know if they'll look at all those things, but if they do, they look at the totality of what I've done in the league. I think you're probably, and this is as arrogant a statement as you'll ever hear me make about this, they'll have to look for reasons not to. It won't be, what do we have to look at to put him in? It'll be like, why can't we put him in? That's the way I think it'll go down.
And how much do you credit the system of defense for that? Because we see guys, you're making points about guys that, yeah, how could you expect a corner to blitz if defenses don't corner blitz?
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like me, I can only catch a touchdown if they throw me the ball.
My only defense and to that argument is no one else did it before. Monty gave me the opportunity to do it in this system.
No, I'm not knocking that.
I'm just asking you how much do you
credit a system for that?
Absolutely, you credit the system. Yeah, not many people, other than maybe Charles Woodson now, play outside at corner and then come inside and play nickel. Just not many people do it. You know, you usually keep your better corners outside, but you know, because of circumstance, I've been fortunate enough to play with great corners. Play with Donnie Abraham, play with Brian Kelly, all good players. Play with Philip Buchanan for a year. He's been in the league for a long time, and now I'm playing with Aqib. So, you know, I don't need to be the shutdown corner. I've never been that guy. I've been the guy that's done everything else, and we've had a guy that we could keep outside and cover one of the best receiver outside, and I can go get busy and do all my work inside. So, the system in that regard has worked for me, you know, and the players around me have worked for me in that sense. But I don't know. It'll define itself. You know, the guys that support me will hopefully make a good argument.
How has the recent injuries in the defensive backfield affected you? Have you had to play safety and move around some more?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's been two games, actually. Lynch's first start, he started cramping, and I was literally 10 seconds away from getting my first snap at safety, in regular downs. I've played safety in our nickel formations and some of the schemes that Raheem's drawn up. I've been all over the place, but and then it happened this past week. Lynch hurt his knee for a little bit and thought he wasn't going to be able to come back, and I was going to have to play safety for the rest
true
of the
safety.
Game.
True
yeah,
safety.
Yeah, true safety. But he came back. So I've learned more.
You're on
about,
the verge.
I've learned more about, you know, that position, you know, than I ever knew before. And I knew a lot just peripherally paying attention to it. But, you know, I'm actually, you know, sitting in my room night before a game going over the, you know, Jimmy Lake's tip sheet just to make sure. Because if it happens,
gotta be ready.
I'm not going to go in there and mess it up. So,
all right, we got a bunch of callers waiting. We have Greg in St. Pete. You're on with Rondé.
Hey, Rondé. God bless. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year for you.
Likewise, man.
Hey, I just want to let you know two things. Comment. I think you're one of the best corners in the league. You've been around for a long time, and I know age is catching up to you, as you said, but all the statistics show that you should be in the Hall of Fame, and that's if it doesn't happen, I can't believe it wouldn't. But main question is, being in the league for so long and having to go through so much abuse, what do you attribute your longevity? Because I don't think you've had very many injuries. You've had a few here and what do you do to create that longevity? What do you do? And I'll hang up and let you finish.
That's a great question. I've been fortunate. You know, a lot of it's I've had great genetics. I got to thank my mom. But I've had injuries that I've been able to play through, and that's you know, also part of my upbringing, just wanting to not sit on the sideline, wanting to find a way to play through injury or play through some discomfort. That has been a huge part of me, and that's, you know, people call me tough, whatever you want. I just don't want to see somebody else do my job. I say it every time somebody asks me this question. But in reality, I take care of myself. You know, I've found, you know, different modalities that I do in the during off season and during the season that help me. I have a MAT lady that I see twice a week. I get, you know, weekly massages. You know, just I make sure that you know, that I'm getting enough workouts during the week, you know, to make sure that, you know, you're able to recover. You just got to find a way to, and I encourage all the guys, especially guys in my room, that if you just take care of yourself, just take the time to take care of yourself when you leave the building. You know, you give yourself a chance to have some longevity. Now, playing is 180. Actually, I really don't know this number. How many starts that I've had? That's abnormal. That doesn't happen. I've been fortunate not to have any major injuries over the course of my 14 years. But you can help yourself in that regard. Just, you know, find something, whether it's MAT or whether it's, you know, your weekly or biweekly massages or whether it's seeing a chiropractor, whatever it is. You can definitely help yourself.
And I think as you get older, you're more sensitive to that. As a young guy, you can get up and start running without stretching.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I always found myself by necessity saying, hey, I got to take care. Yeah. And then there is that element of luck.
Yeah.
And when you say you've been fortunate, you see a play yesterday with Ben.
Yeah.
I mean, he's making a play. A lot of times when guys are letting up or they're not playing full speed is when they have a tendency to get hurt. I mean, he leaves the ground and just gets hit by a tackler. That part of it is luck. That is genetics, maybe, to take a hit like that without tearing something. Yep. But you have to agree with a little bit of luck, too, right?
There's definitely that. But there's definitely something to be said about training positional strength and, you know, doing the little things. You know, not away from just throwing weight around like you do in the weight room when you go work out during the week. I've spent a lot of time in the past 5-6 years, you know, training positional strength. So if my knee, say, gets caught in a position that is awkward, I know that it'll hold on. You know, I've had an injury. Flip was here. Jermaine was here, and I was covering a guy, and Jermaine was coming in to kill the guy, and he hit me with friendly fire, and he hit me in my knee, and my knee buckled in, and I was like, oh man, you see it on film, it looked like I tore my MCL. But I was able to play. I finished that game. It was a little sore, but nothing major. Those type of things have really, you know, contributed to me being able to play this long.
But you see it. But that, some of that is genetic for you to be able to handle it. And then some guys will run and blow out an Achilles.
Yeah, just running, doing nothing.
Exactly. So you need to thank your mom and dad.
Absolutely.
All right, we're gonna go to Chris in St. Pete. You there? You're on with Rondé.
Hey, what's going on, Dave?
How you doing?
All right, Rondé, it's a pleasure and an honor to talk to you, man.
Cheers, man.
Been a big fan of yours and also a Bucks fan since my younger days. I'm 44 now, so it's been quite a while.
You sound so much younger than 44.
Well, you know, I guess I could blame that on genetics too. My dad.
There you go.
My dad's the same way. But I just wanted to make a comment first, Rondé, and then a question on the upcoming game. I hope everybody realizes, you know, this is going to be an MMA cage dogfight. I mean, it's going to be.
Doubt.
It's going to be a nasty, and I just hope that everybody's got that mentality, and those who might not have that 100%, please tap them on the head and say, brother, this is going to be a big dogfight. I mean, this is for all the marbles here, so just keeping everybody's head in the game. But as far as my question, Rondé, I've been watching football about, you know, 30-plus years, and you've been around the game a long time. In the past, and not too far, too long ago, even on some of the Buccaneer teams, when players go down, like our players have been going down this year, unfortunately, teams in the past, I don't care who it is, you know, if it's the Steelers, New England, Miami, whoever, they don't have too many layers behind that. And when you see guys go down, it's, uh-oh, we're in trouble, and they usually finish 5-11, 4-12, or what have you.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on, Rondi? With is Raheem just the new wave of coach, or are they doing? Is this the new thing we're going to see now? Layers where you go into the draft, and instead of just plucking a guy and saying let's fill this spot, let's grab this guy, you're actually going in and you're grabbing guys who fit the system to a T, 100%. And if you could just talk about that, is this the new wave of football and with the layering? And thank you,
Ronnie. Yeah, you know what? You make some great points. Some of which I absolutely agree with. One of which is Raheem the new type of coach. And I say yeah. I mean, I've been around a lot of coaches, not just head coaches, but other coaches through my years. And what Raheem brings to the table is unique among all of. Maybe Mike T had a little bit of that, but even Raheem is on a different level with his ability to relate to players and, you know, make them all feel like, you know, they can be that guy, the next guy. You know, you talk about layers on your football team, and one mentality that Raheem has is, you know what, you know, guy gets hurt, star gets hurt, you know, don't blink. You know, people start blinking.
Next man up.
Next man up. I mean, almost to the point, if guys are going to start blinking, I'm going to cut your eyelids off so you're not blinking at all. and that's the mentality you have to have, because regardless, and I told my guys this a couple of weeks ago when a key went down, I said regardless of what happens, you know, whoever gets hurt, whoever's playing or not playing, you know, the game's going on. You know, they're going to play a football game whether that guy is here or not. So who's ever next, step up. I mean, that's how I got my opportunity. So I preach that to these guys. And we've had to deal with it a lot this year. But, you know, the credit really goes to Mark Dominic and Raheem and all the guys making personnel decisions. You know, we haven't been a team ever, really, even since you've been involved, Dave, that goes out and gets high-priced free agents and spends a lot of money on guys that other teams obviously don't want because they're free agents. You know, we believe building from the bottom. You know, building your roster from the bottom gives you the opportunity to put guys on the practice squad, guys that are barely, you know, maybe your 45th to 53rd player on the team that you want, guys that you think you can mold and make into players. And Mark and Raheem have done a great job identifying those type of players. So when we lose a Gerald McCoy, you got a guy in Frank Oakham.
Okam,
who comes in and has been in the building for 2 or 3 weeks, and he's on the field playing. He started at three technique the week after Gerald McCoy got hurt. And that if you don't give the credit to the guys that brought him in the building, then you're mistaken. You know, it's not all about us. You know, good coaching goes a long way, and we have great coaching, and I think we've made some great personnel decisions in the past 2 years, and it's helped us sustain through all these injuries.
Well, there's a couple points. You know, first, you have 10 rookies that started this year, and it's the first time in the history of the league that a team started 10 rookies.
It's unbelievable.
And finished the season with a winning record.
It's unbelievable.
Bucks have won 9 games. I mean, that's their hits history.
Yeah.
Another thing is that I think the skill players, the playmakers, have stayed healthy.
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
And outside, I think that keeps you in a lot. Yeah. You know, if you lose Freeman, if you lose Mike Williams or Winslow, then you're talking it's more of an impact.
Yeah.
But yet not to discredit anything, Mark Dominic getting the right guys, and your coaches.
Yeah.
You and I were the type of players that, listen, if I get my opportunity to play, I'm not going to blow it. I don't know how long that window is going to be.
Absolutely.
So I was self-motivated to study, to be ready to learn through somebody else's eyes that was in front of me. But to see it across the board, it's not the norm.
It's not something special. It's not by accident,
And that has to be completely credited to the guys getting them ready, saying, hey, you don't know when your snap's going to be. I mean, these guys – so a couple of them showed up a couple of weeks ago,
and now
they're playing. They're not even sure what they're doing. Yeah. So the coaches have to get them ready to put them in a position to be successful.
Yeah. It's happened 3 times on the O-line. It's happened twice on our D-line. It's happened in our secondary. So we absolutely got to give credit to the guys preparing us to play. And there was a time when I always thought that, you know, coaches were overrated, man. It's the players. It's not about the X's and O's. Not what they draw up. It's about the Willies and the Joes, you know, the guys playing the game. But that's not the case, man. We're a well-prepared football team, and it's the reason why we've been able to win in spite of all these injuries that we've had this year.
All right, well, I'm getting yelled at. We got to take our last break here. We'll be back in a second on the Total Access Show to finish up with Rondé Barber. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
listening to Buccaneers Total Access. This is 620 WDAE at US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.
Welcome back to the Total Access Show. We have a few minutes left with Rondé Barber. It's a pleasure to always. I think we should be able to do this every week.
Sit back
and talk a little football.
Absolutely.
All right, New Orleans. I hate to even say this out loud, but we have to root for the Atlanta Falcons tonight.
Ugh. I'm with Raheem.
What did he say?
I don't know, but it was somewhere along the lines of, do I have to?
It may make your life easier.
Yeah, you know what? It was funny. There were guys in the weight room today when we were working out, and they were talking about scenarios, and they're like, what do we got to do to get into the playoffs?
Doesn't matter. What did you say?
I said, beat Detroit and Atlanta. They're like, what? Yeah, beat Detroit and Atlanta. In other words, we put ourselves behind an eight ball a little bit. I mean, we had the opportunity, and not that I'm giving up on our opportunity, but I hate the fact that we go into a game that we have to win, and we knew we were going to have to win anyways, but we got to look for help from the outside, and that's a situation we put ourselves in. But at the end of the day, we're still hunting our 10th win. You know, Raheem said at the beginning of this deal that if we got the 10 wins, we'd have a chance to be in the playoffs. If we win our 10th game on Sunday, we have a chance to be in the playoffs. So not that I'm putting prophetic words in Raheem's mouth or whatever, but I could care less who wins this football game. All I know is we're going to go out next Sunday, play a team that's had their way with us for the past 2 years, other than our surprise victory last year against them, and find a way to beat them and get our 10th win. If that puts us in the playoffs, then so be it.
Well, the bottom line is, and we've said it, Raheem says it, you have to be able to control what you control.
Yeah.
Well, all that's out of you have to win anyway. It's not going to matter. You know, Raheem's been a tremendous salesman to his players all year,
absolutely,
trying to keep them focused about next man up, about no excuses, the whole deal. But the bottom line is you have to find a way to beat them at their house. And let's talk a little about Sean Payton and his offense.
Yeah.
You're dealing
They're
with
tough.
Young guys, okay, that are learning the system. He uses a ton of formations, a ton of personnel groups, a ton of motions, shift motions, shift stops. It's going to be half these guys are going to be thinking, okay, what is my responsibility now? I mean, how much pressure is that going to put on these young guys?
You know what? We got to do a good job this week, and I've played against this offense so many times. We know what they're going to do. You know, they do all that.
It's all window dressing.
They do all that that you just said, and they run the same plays. You know, there's one guy that drives that bus, and it's Drew Brees. If you know, without Drew Brees, without a guy that understands that offense that succinctly, that offense does not move like that. But he does. He plays it very well. He knows exactly when and where to get rid of the football. He knows when he can take a chance. And if you give him opportunity for big plays, he's going to gash you. All you have to do is when he's moving around, they're shifting and da-da-da-da. Gruden did this to us. He did the same thing to us.
Believe me, I know. They had the he was our offense coordinator in the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
He was the coach.
Yeah.
So we ran the same stuff we ran here.
So you knew exactly what's going on. We looked at it in practice for years, at least I have. Not that many young guys here have seen it. But we used to watch this in practice all offseason, da-da-da-da. You get to the game, you just have to understand that no matter what they line up in, there's not that much they're doing different. You know, it all
so
looks
do you
different.
Simplify what you're doing? Because you know for a fact if they're thinking, they're going to be late, especially
this,
the defensive
this
line.
This is a deal between me and Raheem, and I told it to him right after we lost that game early in the year to New Orleans. I said, remember the Alamo now. You can't stop everything, but you can know what's coming against these guys. And if we do that, I think we'll be all right.
All right. Well, thank you for taking the time to come. Claudia, thank you for joining us tonight. Well, this is it. This Sunday, it's all or nothing. I just want to thank the callers for taking the time to call in and talk to Rondé. And 1 o'clock on Sunday, it's do or die.
Yep.
Well, thanks for listening to the Total Access Show. Happy New Year to everybody, and good night. This is the Buccaneer Radio Network.
You've been listening to Buccaneers Total Access on 620 WDAE and US 1035, the home of Buccaneers football.